Welcome to Nearly Sacred, Season 3, Episode 1. I'm Joe Bell Schertzinger, along with
Melissa Schertzinger.
And we are finally back in the saddle after a little bit of a pause.
We've been busy.
Busy doing important things.
Yeah, very important things.
Of mass importance.
Yes.
One of those things wasn't making podcasts, but we're back doing it now.
Not that podcast isn't important. It's important. I mean, you could see what it did for Trump, right?
Yeah, he went on podcast. In fact, he was on a podcast that got like millions and, I don't know, even billions of views or something.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah.
That's the thing
that's
about...
That's not what we get, but that's cool.
I mean, we might.
I'm good with that.
We might echo across the whole world.
That'd be cool.
Be Joe Bill's fear factor.
No.
But it's interesting because Trump, right, like... You can never tell with him because a lot of times he'll make this claim that sounds like it's totally outrageous, and then later it actually happens.
Isn't it weird?
Yeah,
It's the weirdest thing.
He'll say things like, "I might be greater than Abraham Lincoln" or something, and then later on you're like, it's possible.
It seems
like a pretty tall claim, but if you're doing it, then you're doing
There's some weird stuff going on.
So what's going on in the world, Melissa, from your perspective?
Well, let's see. Since when? Since a week ago, a month, a year.
I don't know. I'll leave the interval up to you.
I don't know. So, you know, well, there's quite a bit going on. I mean, I guess we're going to go right into the news.
We can if you want to.
Right? Like, so we have alien disclosure. Let's talk about that for just a minute. Yeah.
I thought those didn't exist and they were weather balloons.
Years of gaslighting people and making fun of them and, you know, people who have been abducted and, you know, now it's real.
It's suddenly real.
It's suddenly
Hashtag
real.
Suddenly real.
And not just real like we think there is. No, we're going to be real specific. They came out of the ocean.
Yeah, which didn't like Cloud Atlas have that? Weren't they like in the ocean with their ships or whatever? Remember she like came?
Kind of. I think more of the abyss.
Yeah, there's also that, the abyss.
Yeah.
But everybody that said that, it was always a conspiracy, and they're totally crazy, and you need meds, and you're thinking of conspiracies.
Right, no. So now they're coming out of the ocean, and that's totally normal. I mean, like, and people, you know, the scariest thing to me is the response of people. It's not the aliens.
Yeah.
Like, I already knew that. Like, they, you know, that's obvious. I have a lot of experience there, but... It's the response of people like, and nothing. Like my whole life being raised with a mother who was way into alien stuff and all that, you know, in the 70s. And I thought one day when they come out and they disclosure happens, like, oh, finally, I will feel free. No, everybody's the same. Like nothing's happened.
Yeah, I saw a tweet that the other day kind of said that. They were talking about Democrats... it was really about Republicans and then getting Democrats to see the corruption. And they said, we never expected they would just say, okay.
That was weird too, right? Let's talk about that for just a minute. Like, you know, we had all this, like, let's burn down all the cities and destroy people and destroy their lives. And now that's just like, we're just going to give up.
Well, this is the reason why I'm an advocate for science fiction. Because if you watch Doctor Who, remember... The third Doctor, they had the sea devils and they came up out of the sea.
All right, yeah. All right, so at first I wasn't way into your favorite show of Doctor Who. And
old Doctor Who.
I supported your Doctor Who-ness.
Old Doctor Who.
Yeah, but I was like, I just wasn't a big sci-fi fan. But, you know, I kind of grew on it. And now reality is actually, you know, Doctor Who is more normal than reality, quite honestly.
Right. 70s Doctor Who especially.
So it's like we woke up on some kind of like new timeline, like we're in a whole new world and like everything feels different and people are, I don't know, man, it's bizarre.
Yeah, you've got reality.
Trump has turned into like some kind of actual superhero.
He did that.
He's saving all the kids and...
He did that crypto coin with him with like a Superman cape.
I mean, it's, you know...
So you got that going
Seems
on.
Seems to be something like that happening. Although, you got your critics, right? Of course.
Right.
And there's people saying, oh, nope, he's the Antichrist. He's the Antichrist. And I'm like, well, you know, you can make him that. And I think that's the really weird thing about Trump. Like, he's this great mirror for people to project on whatever's inside of them. Like, he's a superhero. He's the Antichrist. He's Hitler. He's, you know, whatever. You can find it in him if you really tried.
Well, there's another fellow that had that happen. And he was negotiated a settlement that created the conditions of the Temple Mount to this day. His name was Frederick, I believe, the Great, or something along those lines. Hmm. And in his time, people said he could be the Antichrist, or he might not be, or maybe he
when
is.
When was this? What years?
It was before the Temple Mount was occupied by the Dome of the Rock. I think it was like 1200.
Oh, when the Templars were there?
Around about the same time.
Probably around the end of the 1100 or so.
Last Crusade, and this was like when it kind of hit, and this guy struck a deal with everybody that created the conditions that we have now. But at the time, they said, yeah, like, because he was able to deal with the Islamic, you know, the Muslim aspect. He was able to deal with the Templars, and neither of them liked him all the way because both of them saw
him. So he made friends with everyone, or was trying to.
Yeah, he was a, you know, he was a negotiator. He was the art of the deal version one, I guess you could say. And but yeah, he set it up, and then it led to now. And of course, Trump came in and recognized Jerusalem, so it was like a continuation of that.
You know, I heard a story the other day. You know, there's pictures going around on the internet of like he had the Ark of the Covenant in his house. I mean, and it's like what? But nobody, like, he never talked about it. Like, there was no like news story about it. It was just this random picture. Somebody's like, hey, this is in Mar-a-Lago, and so I heard this other podcast. I'm sorry if they're listening, but I can't remember who it was. I was just kind of paying attention to what they were talking about. And they said, somebody told them that they put the Torah in there, like Torah scrolls inside of it. And it like caused it to be weaponized.
What?
Yeah. And that nobody knows who recreated this thing. Like nobody knows who was the person who built it. Like it's all very mysterious. And apparently, supposedly, it's now in Jerusalem.
So it became like the Ark of the Death Covenant or something, or
well, you know, the Bible kind of does say that, like it, you know, there's some extra biblical stories about it, and also some commentaries by sages that talk about how it, like, it never touched the ground; it floated, so that when the priests were quote unquote carrying it, it was actually carrying the priests.
Oh,
like
yeah.
That, it didn't go the other way around. They weren't carrying it; it was carrying them, and that, you know, some enemies got a hold of it, and then it caused them to get like hemorrhoids.
Right.
Like it caused their butts to get literally hurt, and they like sent it back. It's a true story. Yeah, the Bible says they sent it back. They said, we can't have this thing because our butts hurt so bad.
Yeah.
Like, they literally got butt hurt.
And yeah.
So they sent it back. They're like, hey man, take this thing back. But some people think it like was, it's like some sort of generator, like of energy.
Well, so the Bible is pretty specific about what it is, right? Like it doesn't say it's a generator or a switch or a capacitor. It says it does this.
And is that's what?
Holds the essence of the glory of Yahweh, or a portion
right,
of.
Right. Which is pure energy, I guess you could say. We would understand it as that.
And from Indiana Jones.
Yeah, it'll melt your face off.
I know that you do not want to open it in a mixed company, and you want to look away. Cause,
don't look at it. Yeah. Like, you'll turn into a melted skeleton. Don't be a Nazi and think you're going to get away with this, all right?
Not only did it have Harrison Ford, but it had...
Oh, wait, that proves that he's not a Nazi.
Right,
he couldn't
go.
Have the Ark of the Covenant.
No, it'd be a problem, right? His face would melt off.
This is Indiana Jones. This is like every movie put together.
And not only that, but James Bond was in that at the same time. Sean Connery in the Indiana Jones, right?
He was, you're right.
So you've got all your favorite players in one place.
You do. Maybe we should have like a day of just like Raiders of the Lost Ark, like except for the Crystal Skull. We're not doing that.
No. That was the terrible.
I saw a picture the other day, speaking of RFK Jr. No, wait. No. It was John Jr., JFK Jr.
Yep.
He was sitting at a desk, and it had a crystal skull on it. Like, he had
what?
One. It was weird. He had a crystal skull and something else. I had never seen this picture before, and I'm like, why does he have a crystal skull?
Maybe he had some of that Dan Aykroyd vodka that comes in a crystal skull.
It's the best vodka I ever had.
It was very pure. I have to give it to
him. It was incredible. Yeah. I don't drink it now, but I have had it before. Yeah, he purifies it through crystals, literally. Like, he sends it through some kind of crystal, crystals, like it's purified. Like, he charges it with, like, crystal energy.
And he busts the ghosts around it as well.
Yeah.
Because he's Dan Aykroyd.
Oh, that's what he's doing, is capturing the ghosts, the spirits, get it?
Ghost in the shell.
So when you drink it, you don't get drunk on ghosts.
Yeah, and you also don't die, which is kind of important, because vodka can definitely do that.
It is
to
a cool bottle, too. We did use it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah, so you've got literally mythological things, as Sylvester Stallone said.
He did.
Next to Trump.
He's a little, yeah.
And it's happening. And then the reaction for most people is kind of flat, considering.
It's
like,
weird.
Yeah, so any of these things, I remember the evangelical communities and stuff before. Any one of the events that I've seen in the past, like, month.
Oh, right.
They would be having a conniption.
Yeah.
They'd be like, what does this mean? Is there an end time prophecy happening or whatever?
Now, Jonathan Cahn has.
Right.
He's done some, a little bit of work on this, and he's an interesting fellow. If you haven't heard of him, you know, you can go check out his videos. I kind of like him, you know, and I like what he says. But, he's got some neat takes on this, and he's written some books that kind of put this in perspective of what we're looking at.
Right.
From a biblical point of view, like, you know, I think he likens Hillary Clinton to Jezebel. Well, he doesn't say she is, but he says, you know, like there's matches there, like there's similarities. And then he talks about, you know, Trump being like, what was the king?
Jehu,
yeah.
Yeah, that he drives furiously. Remember, he drives furiously his chariot. So, and I do see Jonathan Cahn, you know, he's definitely one of the people that are doing it. But even the response to him is not, it's fairly flat.
It's weird.
I mean, he had the number one bestseller.
All right. Yeah, he did.
Recently. Mm-hmm. What do you have there?
Well, let's check out the news. Like, this is all very interesting chat. We're going through stuff pretty fast. We're moving fast. But so I like to open Twitter, and I might start calling this Twitter Files, like, or something like that. Like
the Twit Files.
I don't know. Twitter News. Oh, no, it's not Twitter. I can't call it that. What am I saying? See, I'm still back in season one.
X.
It's X. So cool.
The X Files.
Oh, the X Files. Yes. That's what we're going to call this, the X Files. All right. So, what's the first thing on your feed? That's what we'll call the episode. What's the first thing on your feed? So this has been interesting, like the usdebtclock.org, okay? So you used to be able to go to this place called the US Debt Clock online, and it would show you where we were as far as how much debt the United States was holding and the values of like silver and gold, and it's got all this stuff, and it's moving like the population, and like it's running constantly. It's like a ticker. Like, so it's live, like exactly where we're at. So it started probably about, what was it, like a year ago? Like the US Debt Clock, and this is supposed to be an official thing, right? Started posting these weird pictures. And maybe you can put this up.
I can.
All right. Maybe you can put this up online. I don't know, you know, your capabilities.
In show notes, it can be included.
Show notes. Okay. We started, you know, people started talking about seeing these really weird pictures that were coming up that didn't seem governmental, official. And so they started asking, like, what's going on? It was all this coded pictures and stuff. And this one, this is a new one, fresh, like it just 48 minutes ago. It says, all in USA Wealth Discovery. And it has a picture of the United States and looks like all the United States looks like it's gold. And there's a picture of a treasure chest that looks like it's in Washington, maybe, Washington, D.C. It's blue. It's got blue light coming out of it. And a treasure chest in the West that has a gold light coming out of it. And it says the USA Treasury, and it has a picture of Kennedy on there and a plus 3% a year divided dollar. U.S. national debt zero. What do you make of that? Like, what are they trying to tell us? I mean, there's a lot more to this, and you can zoom in on it, and boy, there's a lot to uncover here, and there's like a X symbol at the bottom. So, like, what does that mean? What are they signaling? Like, something with crypto?
Could be.
Do you think that we could be having a new money system show up? Like, we're going to get rid of the Fed? And then end up using crypto?
I'd be surprised if we did that fully. I'm not going to say it's impossible, but I think that... did you say Kennedy was on that particular image?
Yeah, Kennedy. A picture of Kennedy.
So the gold standard was in effect
JFK.
When JFK was still in. It was up in effect until Nixon.
Uh-huh.
So I would say that probably it's a re-pegging of the dollar, because after that, Nixon pegged it to a barrel of oil. He pegged the dollar's value to it, relative to it. So to me, that says something about changing the standard of American money so that you can't just print it, you know, nonstop
right.
as an actual amount of gold that you could redeem it for. So whether or not that goes to crypto, I mean, you do have stable coins and all that, but the crypto realm is very, it's very volatile compared to what you can actually purchase, right? Like, so you're always having to peg it to, I can spend this amount of Bitcoin and buy a Tesla or something. Like, you don't really have, and so its value is, it's always fluctuating. And it's true that the dollar does too, but it doesn't fluctuate. It's not as volatile. So really, the crypto coins are more like stocks to me. Like, they're like technology stocks or something is how I view them. Now, there is that one kind of crypto that's like a, what do they call it, a CBDC or whatever.
Yeah, this is all over my head. Like,
that's different.
You'd almost have to have classes starting to talk about crypto to people, because, I mean, think about, like, the average, you know, older American especially. There's no way they're going to be able to, unless they made it super easy to use. Like, everybody here's a card, and,
well, the,
like, it's loaded with money, and it's worth this. You have, like, $10,000 on it, and you just use it like a credit card. That'd be the only way. Other than that, nobody's going to understand how to deal with crypto.
The Biden administration has gone through and gutted a lot of crypto.
Yeah, I've got some thoughts on crypto, like, again. Like, but,
but they were backing the CBDC type of deal. The little interesting one, because it's ultimately trackable in every imaginable way.
You're talking about a central bank.
That's what they were doing with it, yeah, central bank currency.
Right, so the danger is, like, I'd be cool if they just let us have whatever crypto we wanted and just left it there, left it alone. But if you start getting into this, no, we're going to have a central bank, and we're going to issue all the cards, and we're going to control it, and we're going to be able to see how much money you have, and we're going to, you know... That gets into Antichrist territory again, like taking the mark of the beast because you can't buy or sell without of it, you know.
And Trump's already said he's not doing that. He's not doing the CBDC.
That's good. That's good.
So there's that. So there's little things in there, right? Because if you get all the crypto that doesn't do that, like Monero, it's a privacy coin. They came after it pretty hard. But what Trump has said is, he said, I think it needs more regulation because people are using it to buy things like weapons.
Yeah.
Which is not really a net positive.
And other things. Right. Well, if the bad people are just taken out of the equation, then we don't have to worry about anything, right? It leaves the thing that causes all of us to be monitored and everyone is stupid people.
Yeah.
Doing stupid things with money.
Yeah.
And breaking laws that you shouldn't be doing to your fellow human being. I mean, it's that simple. Those people, if we take care of that problem, then everything else is fine. You don't have to worry about, you know, have to monitor you because...
Right.
You're not being a jerk.
Well, the pivot hit with Snowden.
It's the jerks.
You know, Snowden and 9/11. And everybody said, well, you got to have security. How are you going to have security? If we can't monitor this, how are you going to have security? And then it just kind of escalated.
You get rid of the evil. How about that? How about that? How about we just get rid of the evil?
You could also do your job. There's that.
There's that. Yeah. So, all right. So the next thing I see is CNN panel member says Trump bringing out his top allies with him to UFC looks like ancient Rome. And yeah, okay, yeah, he's not I'm not wrong. It really looks like ancient Rome. This sort of a conquering Republican Caesar going into the Colosseum and everyone cheering, and he's got his political gladiators with him. That appearance isn't just about him enjoying the applause. He's sending a message to the Senate. Like, not only are you entertained, but these are my people. Are you willing to fight? Because here's who I have. Trump took Elon Musk, RFK Jr., Tulsi Gabbard with him to Madison Square Garden last night and received a glorious ovation. All right. I can understand that. I can see how that could be viewed that way. Yeah, it could.
Well, I mean, the Senate is a Roman
idea. Is already without him doing any of that. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about Washington, D.C., our government. It's already, you go there, it's got tons of like Roman, Greco-Roman, Egyptian stuff. I mean, it's already set up for that. So why is he any more doing that than, say, anybody else just because he went to UFC?
What I've been hearing a lot lately is a lot of people will say democracy must be protected from. But they forget that we're a representative democracy and we're actually a republic. So a republic is actually a Roman construct as well, along with the Senate. So if he's coming in and it's sending a message to Rome that there is a fight brewing, then I don't understand what the controversy is, because it's pretty clear that that's what's happening.
All of them are partaking in it.
Right.
Everyone that is partaking of that is doing it. So.
In the most golden age of Rome is usually what? Caesar. right?
Yep.
And we know how that went. Not well for Caesar in the end. So he's saying, in essence, like, if I'm Roman and thinking that Trump is Caesar, I'm thinking probably he's not going to take the stabbing the last time he took the stabbing.
Yeah.
So he said, I'll take these slings and all this different damage and stuff for you. Like, remember all that rhetoric he was using?
Yep.
And now he's saying, that's done. This is coming in. So that's how I would read that signaling to me, is that the fight is about to begin.
Okay. All right. Like maybe the end of Rome.
Or at the very least, the end of the Colosseum, you know, as such, which...
Well, he did that whole speech in Madison Square Garden, right? Like, he was already there. Like, it was big, big deal.
Right. Mm-hmm. And he's branded himself as a fighter.
Yeah.
I mean, he's said straight up.
He likes fighting stuff.
Yeah. He does, yeah. Which,
I'd say he's good at it.
Well, which we touched on before, his natal astrology chart has Mars rising.
Right, right, right.
So, literally, he's had blood on him, which is public, you know, blood. He's at fights. That's Mars. He's got Musk, who's tied to
Mars
literally.
Mars. He's wearing that all the time.
So all all these things point at a very Mars, masculine, this is how it's done type of mentality.
Right. And, you know, the next generation is probably, you know, lacking some of that. Like, there's been a feminization of the masculine for the younger generations. And I think there's a fight back against that, like, you know,
right.
Speaking of that, we have a guest with us today.
We do.
We have a young man, and you know, he's got some views, and it's kind of interesting to hear some fresh views. We're kind of older. We kind of have been through some stuff, but it's kind of neat to hear from somebody who is younger. Like, what are they thinking? Is anybody asking them any questions? So I'm going to introduce Carter. Welcome to Nearly Sacred.
Hello.
So it's good to hear your voice. So you've heard us doing a little bit about this, and you want to tell us a little bit about yourself?
Right now I'm a junior in high school. And just getting through school.
Got a little technical difficulty. Go ahead.
Just getting through school and trying to get grades and, you know, make it through the years of high school that some people don't make it through, which you see a common thing now.
You're right. Yeah, there's a lot of problems with kids and in schools and stuff. And so, yeah, you're active in sports.
Yeah, football. And obviously I do things outside of school too.
Yeah.
Like the gym and playing basketball or...
Yeah, hanging with your buds.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what do you think about that? Do you feel like, as a young male in this world, have you been, you know, how have you learned to maneuver through all of this DEI and, you know, kind of a leftist point of view of you have to, you know, be nice and act this certain way? And not that being nice isn't a good thing, it is, but, like, there's a difference between, you know, being nice and then being told you're not nice just because you're a white male.
Yeah. The main thing is just who you surround yourself with, essentially. Mm-hmm. You know, you hear the voices of certain people that you have heavy influence from, people you shouldn't be around. That can lead you down the wrong path. And also just being with God. As long as you're with Him, He'll take you down the right path where you need to go. And definitely family too.
Right. Yeah. Those are big, important things. And I think that's been a big attack. There's been an attack on the family, on the standard, you know, you know, God, family, you know, mom, dad, and kids.
Right.
And that's a difficult thing. And I think you're doing real well. It sounds like you're on the right path.
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah. So you look strapping. You know, you look strong. Would you say you feel strong?
Something in that concept, maybe.
Stronger than before, say.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm interested to know some things about political views, right, from the age group that you belong to, the demographic, we'll say. So the first thing that I would like to know, because it's become debatable, which I've always thought we would never arrive at, but the Constitution of the United States, a lot of people feel like it's a guiding document.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like the things that it says are not necessarily... They're open to interpretation. What do you think? What's the Constitution to you?
I think it's something that obviously the U.S. was built off of, and it's something that we should all look at and respect and follow it, because that's just how what we were made of.
Okay. So do you think that there should be, like, new amendments that modify, like, say, other amendments? So, like, let's say, like, the right to bear arms, right? That's a pretty big one.
Yeah.
Second Amendment. What do you think? Do you think that's antiquated, or do you think, what do you think?
You mean, like, what do you mean by specifically, like, give an example of it being amended?
So, for instance, a right is not supposed to be something that the state has any say over. Yeah. Originally, it's just a right. But in order to purchase a weapon, you have to get a license.
Right.
That's not what it says, but that's what we do.
Ah, so you're asking, are you a purist? Do you think that everyone should just be able to go get one, or do you think there should be regulations?
I think it all just depends, because, like, you obviously you have certain people who aren't right mentally. I think you definitely got to have background checks and certain things to make sure the person who buys the gun is mentally right and are able to own the gun without just going around and killing people.
Okay. So you feel like there should be some screening?
Yeah, definitely. Like, the licensing and, you know, the age regulations, like, I understand, like, 18 should be the limit.
Okay. So you think there should be an age restriction, and you think there should be screenings. So how would you square that with the Second Amendment right to bear arms? I mean, you don't have to solve this problem right now. It's been debated a long time.
This is still being debated. Like, we're just curious what your views are.
I definitely think it's something that it shouldn't be messed with. Hmm. It's put in place, and it should be put in place for the rest of humanity.
All right, but all the other people that say guns are violent and they do bad things.
I don't believe it's not the gun, it's the person.
Right. Something has to pull the trigger, right?
Right.
Okay. All right, so what about then, we'll switch up a little bit. The First Amendment, freedom of speech, that's become highly volatile at this point.
Yeah.
Like, it's, if you're on a platform, they say you don't have to have free speech. They can do whatever they want. What do you think?
You should be able to do what you want. Your voice should be heard, and you should be able to say the things that some people might not want to hear, but at the end of the day, they need to hear. And, you know, whether they like it or not, you have the right, and you should be able to without having restrictions on it.
Even if you don't agree with it, right? We've spent the last 4 years listening to stuff we didn't agree with, but I didn't stop anyone from saying anything. I didn't dox anyone. I didn't try to take their website down or stop their store or anything like that.
Right.
So you're saying you're not a psycho?
No. Like, I think they absolutely should be able to pursue happiness as long as it's within, right, the laws.
Yeah.
Well, that brings up another interesting point. Marriage, there's not really any provision in the Constitution for marriage. There's no right for marriage. But yet we talk a lot about marriage rights.
Yeah.
There's no amendment that addresses it, no nothing that's licensed. You have to have a marriage license to get married.
When did that start? Like, why is that even a thing? Like,
well, let's ask Carter.
Yeah, what do you know?
I don't know much about it, but I see where they come from with the licensing, but I think that can get very complicated, especially with divorce. Like, that gets really messy with how sides part in that.
What did people do before that? That's a good question, but go ahead. Sorry.
I'm not sure, but I think at the end of the day, like, I don't think there should be something put in place, like an amendment or something, but I think for sure, like, I get the licensing and all that.
So I think that prior to the government being involved in marriage licensing, it belonged to the church, correct? They were kind of like the ones who were issuing any kind of like document of marriage. Like, if you get into genealogy, like go back into the 1800s, they had records of the pastor or the priest or some sort of church was issuing those things.
Yeah.
So don't you think that's sufficient? Wouldn't that be sufficient in allowing the church to kind of mitigate, things of that nature?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it has to be essentially like government affiliated. I think churches can be definitely fine. That, like I said, it would be sufficient. Mm-hmm. And I think you could definitely just leave it to churches to handle that.
Well, so the original argument for the state intervening was it had to do with population and how you could recognize a citizen or not. And the way that you could recognize a citizen that was born was in part by birth. So they were doing it to keep track of children and taxes, census data, all that stuff.
Right.
So a marriage was defined as that, and then of course it became later about tax rights, you know, for married couples that have this or that, because you're recognized as a family unit and therefore you're taxed differently. But that gets kind of dangerous, right? Because you're getting the church commingled with the state in various different ways. Mm-hmm. And there's this whole establishment clause that says what? Anybody know the establishment clause?
No.
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 I should. Well, that, yeah, but I don't.
Basic principle of separation between church and state.
Oh, that, yeah. Yeah.
So when the government got involved in recognizing marriage, what the definition was, that was a direct, marriage is only defined where? Where is it defined?
The Bible.
That's it. That's the only place that marriage is defined as in terms of a union that has some kind of further implication. Mm-hmm. Now, you can call something a marriage, and a lot of people try it, but it's not technically a marriage other than defined by the Bible. So they came in and said, well, we're going to redefine it as, you know, this particular thing or this particular union. We're going to recognize it because they want tax breaks and it's against their rights.
Yeah.
So how do you square that? Because, again, we don't have marriage rights.
Well, but single males don't get tax rights. Single females, head of household, you know, like they don't get a tax break, you know. So why are we getting tax breaks for being married at all?
Kids.
Yeah, but can't you issue something? Couldn't you just say, well, you've got five kids in your household, then.
You could.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I'm not understanding why that even needs to be a thing with the taxes.
And ultimately, it's on what?
How about a flat tax and it takes care of everything?
It's on income tax, which again, is there anything on income tax in the Constitution? Anybody know?
Nope.
It's not there. Income tax was a later invention. So we've got all these different discussions going on that have already deviated from the Constitution. And the rights are supposed to be automatic. That's what they were fought for. It's not, you can get arms if you feel like it. Because the only way that America was won was by a militia that didn't have to have gun licensing from Britain to go out and fight Britain.
Right.
And that's not to say they won it on the basis of guns, but they were able to have that, and that was the original idea. So I'm curious, because we're now at a spot, it sounds like, right, where a lot of people are calling, like again, Stallone called Trump the second George Washington. That's pretty heavy billing.
Yeah.
Saying America's being reborn. Well, what does that mean for the foundational documents, and where are people landing? In other words, you know, should we come in and have more government come in, do you think, and stipulate things like what marriage is, you know, for the new thing? Should we define it constitutionally?
How do you see the future for your generation under the understanding of, you know, constitutional law and all that? Like, how do you see it? What do you see happening? What would you like to see?
Not too much federal or government, you know, like those people coming in and making like the laws they want to. I think it should just definitely stay on the constitutional path and stick to those and truly what the American people believe in.
So power to the people.
Yeah.
State, more state based. Okay.
So still representative democracy.
Yes.
In essence, mm-hmm. Not just democracy.
Yeah.
Right.
Which is the whole debate we've been through lately is, it's the voice of the people. Well, okay, but what does that mean? What does the voice of the people mean? And can the voice of the people be wrong?
I think there's certain things that you can say that can be wrong or can be right. It all just depends on what you're speaking of or how you say things. But, yeah, I think definitely the power of the people should definitely be something we focus on. And obviously we have that, but not many people pay attention to it.
Right. So in the 1800s, we had this thing called the Great Awakening. Do you remember that from history?
We did. Do you know anything about that, Carter?
Not that I can remember, but
I slept through it.
Do you remember the 1800s, Carter? Like, that's a whole different discussion.
Yeah. Remember the 80s? Yeah.
Yeah.
So we had the Great Awakening. What do you know about that, Melissa?
So, yeah, there was two Great Awakenings, actually. And we're in the third, I believe. Is that correct? Or were there three?
I think we're in the third. But a lot of definitions say we're in the fourth turning.
I see. So what that was there's a huge spiritual movement that moved across the United States. And it was always in churches, like this Great Awakening movement. It had to do with a move towards God and back to biblical understandings and you know, most recently for us, and you can look that up. Like, it's pretty interesting. I believe, I could be wrong, but here in Illinois, there was a guy in not far from where Lincoln was. I think his name was Cartwright. And he was, I think it was Pleasant Plains is where he was mm-hmm. from. And he was a big, one of the big preachers during that Great Awakening. I think the second one, I believe, that he was involved in that. And so where we're at now is we've got this really weird thing that showed up in 2017 that's supposed to be part of this Great Awakening that was on, I think it was 8chan at the time, right? It was called Q. Some guy started posting. We don't know who it is. Like, nobody really knows who started posting these things on 8chan, which was this, like, free speech, like, website, you know, message board. You know, that was kind of, you know, gamer, hacker kind of guys, and mostly, I think, men, and, you know, a lot of interesting stuff there. But it was promoted that you could talk about anything. It's free speech. So this person starts posting as Q, or people, we don't know, and we start watching this unfold, and it starts, like, talking in a real weird way, and we start realizing this is open source intelligence. Like, somebody has some info, like open source from somewhere, one of the intelligence agencies. And they're asking people to look stuff up, like, go look at this. Like, here's some information. What do you think about this? And it started this huge movement, which a lot of people were like, yeah, this is baloney. Some people got way into it. They called them anons, and they started, like, researching all this. Got really, really intense. And then it kind of disappeared. And then it kind of just, like, petered off. Like, people just kind of, you know, stopped talking about it. And the next thing you know, Elon Musk, over the past, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks. And funny thing that people were noticing, Trump was sharing a lot of people who had, like, Q in their posts. Like, he was sharing it. And he was doing things like what they call this air Q. Like, he'd make a circle and then he'd do that. Like, he would make a Q, you know, with his finger. Like, and he'd point at people and do this. So people are like, there's still suspicion. But now, since Trump won, Elon Musk has been directly quoting from the Q. Like, direct quotes. The hammer of justice. Nothing can stop what's coming. Like, these were big key words that Q was saying. And so, you know, what do you think? Do you know anything about that? Have you researched any of that? Or
I haven't researched much of the Q and, you know, all that kind of stuff. I've seen, like, things like how you said, like, Musk, you know, doing his hand, and obviously the picture of the guy at the one Trump rally over his campaign of his shirt, and how he was showed that directly on national TV.
So it's very interesting. If you haven't studied that, we kind of did. We did a lot of study, and in part because someone here had an experience when he was younger, and maybe we can get him to talk about it a little bit.
Oh, Lord. We're going to do it.
Yeah.
We're doing it to
it. Let's hear about your experience, Joe Bill. What happened? What do you think?
Well, longtime viewers know that I almost died, or did die at one point. Got very sick. And they diagnosed me at the time, or thought it could be, an Epstein-Barr virus. Now, if I say those words, has a different connotation to most people. Epstein-Barr.
If you're woke.
If you're paying attention. And more or less, I was given an option to be done or not at that particular point in time. And I had some very large outstanding issues with God because I was mad about some things. And that got straightened out in about a picosecond. You know, it didn't take long. And then I was given, you know, the option to come back or not. And at that point in time, I felt like I needed to return. And so that began an awakening for me in the sense that I had questions because there wasn't any spiritual experience that I had seen anywhere that detailed what I had gone through, you know, what that was about. Mm-hmm. And certainly I would hear certain things like people would have near deaths or whatever, and there would be some familiarity there in what they were talking about. But there were very few, and it wasn't until I came across a guy whose name was William Steed, who died on the Titanic, that they described some channel had contacted him later, and he described that he was in a very blue place.
Hmm. So he's dead, but yes. It's like a medium or something.
What did it say?
Somehow, like, did they, were they purposely going to contact him, or?
He was a spiritualist, and they believed that the possibility was there during that whole, what's his name, Houdini time period, where everybody was doing a lot of playing around with spiritual stuff. And he was part of the Queen's Privy Council, William Steed was.
Interesting.
So he had a whole lot of access to a whole lot of information that a lot of people didn't have.
Okay.
And yet, he still found himself on the Titanic, which is a curious coincidence. He was about to publish a book called The Maiden Sacrifice of Babylon because he had done investigative journalism in London and discovered that you could very easily procure yourself a child sex slave.
What?
Indeed. And all the London people were shocked at this. They were appalled that he had been so, what's the word I would use, so much bravado was present that he was willing to go out and do this. So he was writing an expose, because he was a journalist, on this issue in part. So I didn't know that, of course. I just knew the blue part. I didn't discover that he'd written this book until much later.
Oh, so you're saying that he had like an experience like you had, like...
Well, I think something...
Or something similar.
I don't know if that's the case. I just know he was going to investigate journalistically, and then he died and contacted, allegedly, this person who said he was in a very blue place.
When was this book written about? Who this? Well, not well. The medium. When did you hear about this?
That was probably 10 or 15 years ago that I found that piece. Okay. Like fully. I mean, I'd heard other people say they'd been to a blue area, you know, but it that was the part his what they were describing that they were channeling.
Okay.
I'm like, that's correct. So, it's interesting because the Q movement comes directly at child trafficking, right? Which is the thing that this Victorian England expose was coming after. So it goes into London, you know, all these different pieces, and then Epstein, of course, I said it has a different connotation now. Barr has a different connotation now. And I was pretty young when I had this. I was probably 15, you know, getting ready to turn 16, not too distantly. And I had this, and I was given a spiritual choice, and the spiritual choice was be done or carry on.
And so you're here, so you carried on.
I chose option B.
Carry on and be calm.
Yeah, keep moving. Keep moving because other things are happening.
Okay.
What do you think would have happened if you didn't carry on?
Well, the vibe I got was that probably I was going to have to come back at a different point. That's the impression I got. It wasn't an optional quest all the way, but the timing could be different. The conditions could be different.
Yeah.
So that kind of gave me the impression of there's a kind of reincarnation or a kind of continuance or a kind of something.
Yeah.
Interesting. So how does this relate to what we're talking about, this Q thing?
Well, I pointed out that he wrote an investigative journalist.
Okay, so Q was about child trafficking, right? Exposing these people who were in this, like, satanic cult. This is, it's crazy, like, child trafficking. Like, this is, like... heavy level, like, bizarro world that of conspiracy, right? So, okay.
And they said that it was a mono-like virus that I had, that they diagnosed as Epstein-Barr. Mono, of course, means what?
One.
And one is a subset of a lot of the idea of the age of Aquarius, oneness, trying to move into an Aquarian value system. And Steed would have been before World War One, you know, right around the same period coming in. So he's right there at that moment.
Yeah, the Titanic was before that.
Right, and a steed is a horse.
Okay.
So all these things started to come into view from my experience, and it kind of shuffled around in a little bit of a different way.
So you think there was a lot of, let's talk about the Titanic for just a minute. He was there, might have been investigating child trafficking on the Titanic. We don't know. But we had some important, powerful people there, one of them being Astor. Right. And he was one of the richest people in the world. So, you know, and then it goes down.
And most of them opposed the Federal Reserve.
Interesting. Okay. All right. So go along. Like, so you got Epstein, you got child trafficking, you got what? So how does that connect?
Well, number one, it made me sick.
You got very sick. You almost died. You went to the blue place.
Came back. Then later on down the road, after several different things happened, my grandfather died. My grandfather was a World War II pilot. He flew 51 missions in a B-25 to fight against the Nazis.
Wow.
Straight up. And he had a certain kind of training that was he was selected for as a pilot that flouted the rules of the Geneva Convention at the time. And his job was to organize resistance within prison camps behind enemy lines.
Whoa. So, wait, did he get shot down on purpose, or...?
He was not supposed to have to go on his 51st mission. As a matter of fact, 50 missions is crazy level of missions.
Okay, so he was, like, trained that if he got shot down, that's what he was to do.
Not just him. Many people were trained to organize resistance, so they had to fight back, against...
If they were shot down, taken prisoner.
Right. So they were organizing resistance within the prison camps.
Okay, so they armed him, in case that ever happened.
You're not armed, but you're prepared. You are given...
You're armed with the knowledge of how to do it.
Yes.
Okay.
And it worked in tandem with other places to develop a resistance program. It was a whole entire underground resistance.
What's the other places?
Well, some of them are very famous that deal with medical stuff, and they would do radio broadcasts. And you might know them better as the Red Cross, and this is not widely disseminated information.
Ooh, that's interesting.
Because it was against the rules of the Geneva Convention.
Ah.
So you're in Switzerland, and the Red Cross is, of course, Switzerland. Typically, they're neutral.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody had kind of figured out at this point the Nazis were doing some pretty seriously bad stuff to human beings, right? And so everything started organizing against it.
Yeah.
So what they did was he had access to what then was called Q clearance. And this is a fact that I don't often talk about this because in 96, he was going to write a book. And he asked for permission to write the book, and he asked for the permission from Pentagon. Pentagon immediately had his file. Came out, flew two men out, kicked my grandmother out of the house. Kicked her out to get out.
Oh, so they had him fly in?
Flew in two people from the Pentagon.
Whoa,
wow.
Straight up. Kicked my grandmother out of the house because he was never debriefed, right? Because when he got out, he got liberated by the Red Army. He came out, they mustered out, it was the end of the war. So they didn't debrief him because most of the people that were in this program went on to join the government in some significant capacity, and they originally wanted to go to the Pentagon.
It's like he slipped through the cracks or something.
And he said he had enough.
He didn't want
to
go
He
back.
Didn't want any more to do with any of that. He didn't want anything else to do with it. So he had access to all these bits and pieces of history that I'm mentioning now, and they didn't want him to talk about it, except somebody had already done some of that. There's already books out there about the Hut 6 story, which is about England's code breaking and all the stuff that they were doing behind the scenes. There was another book called The Escape Factory that deals with aspects
of
all that.
Read that book. That was very fascinating.
There's another one called, there's several. I don't really want to name all the titles off. Yeah. But the information existed already, right?
Right. So Q clearance, just to be, that's not something that's secret. That's people are aware of that. That's an actual thing. It's just a high level of intelligence.
Well, generally what people do is they know it's there, but they don't necessarily... They think it's like a abstract thing, right? They think it's an abstract thing, and a lot of times they think it's a recent thing because of the Q posts that came up.
No, it goes way back.
They're way older than that. It's all the way back at the foundation of Israel as per World War II. So he was in that. He was going to do this book, and then suddenly he got stomach cancer. And he was not able to do this book shortly after this visit from the Pentagon.
So there was just something certain that they didn't want to get put out.
There were certain things that evidently they did not want him to get into a conversation about.
Yeah.
He never said what that was necessarily. There were some aspects to it that he kind of maybe alluded to that they thought might be sensitive, but he never really said, this is what they said.
It's do you think, if he would have put that out, it would have hurt them?
So Q clearance stuff is state secrets usually that could be damaging to the country.
Okay.
It's this is how they arrange it.
Yeah.
And President Trump has been through an op in front of us all.
Yeah.
The whole thing, and the Q movement says this is the largest public sourced intelligence operation ever. And it's difficult because if your family, was in this or you have there's been some kind of involvement with it. There is an expectation that you're going to do certain things, like with your life, your career, all these different things. You're in the club.
Yeah.
And if you're not in the club, you're not in the club. And then they try to make your life more difficult, typically speaking. So Trump was an outsider, came in. Clearly his whatever he was, grandfather or uncle, John, he was nuclear. So he would have had Q clearance.
Right. He's MIT.
Right. A lot of your Newt guys, when the Manhattan Project started, were Q clearance.
Mm-hmm.
And then the idea was you didn't want those secrets to get out because of their nation states could then build their own atomic bombs and it damages your country.
Yeah.
But as time went on, it became about keeping secrets that probably shouldn't be kept because it was not about the American people anymore. It was about the military-industrial complex doing stuff it shouldn't be doing.
Right.
So then the Q movement kicks up. All of a sudden, you've got this public outsourced intelligence. People are saying yes or no. Or there's all these different stories. And I can tell you, like, Q is a thing. Like, I can verify that it is a thing before it was ever on that board. And if you tell people that now, a lot of them are like, oh, you're a shill, or you're a, because there's this weird, I know, I'm in the know now. It's like, well, no, not really. Yeah. You know some.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Q thing said they revealed like 20%.
Right.
Yeah, it's not even, I mean, all the stuff, there's like 5,000 posts. That's only like 20% inside of what it really is. And,
right.
You know, you have kind of a weird experience maybe that ties to that.
With regard to?
Whitewater.
Oh, so yeah, after my
grandfather. Do you want to talk about that?
I can talk about that. After my grandfather died, I was selected as a state representative. Like the person in charge of that decided to send me to Whitewater. And this was about 96, 97, somewhere in there. And, you know, all these things happen at once.
So you're a young man. You're a young, strapping man.
Almost died and, you know, never have.
Maybe not so strapping after almost dying. But
yeah, probably not. pretty
good shape for almost dying, you know.
Okay,
I did all right.
All right.
But I was flying and, you know, I'd never been on a plane and I was by myself and hitting these terminals and, like, you know, had to navigate large airports. But they had this thing called the World Affairs Seminar. And they had representatives from across the world at this thing. There were some from Brazil, Argentina, and, you know, all this. And they were going and talking on stage about how to solve problems in the world at that point.
Kind of like what we're doing here, but we're not the world.
No.
But, well, yeah, we're asking what you think.
Clearly, they didn't solve all the problems because at that point it was Clinton. And I was actually the minority because I was pretty conservative even then. And, you know, I was saying, like, there's a moral imperative and things like that, which was not really a super popular position at that point because everybody's like, well, there's a lot of stuff on Adam Smith and Invisible Hand and economics. And I remember quite a bit of that. But anyway, I when we came down to Clinton, I'm like, you know, it sounds great, right? The Democrats want to save. They want to help everybody. It sounds great. But it never works out that way.
Yeah.
You know how I know that? Because we were here.
Right.
So I was there and on campus and had an experience because I was walking elsewhere because he had to walk off campus. I mean, there was a cafeteria, but you know, I don't really like cafeteria food that much, and I had enough of it. I wanted something else. And I'd gone to a restaurant a couple of times with a person who was a representative out of Massachusetts by the name of Fauci.
Of all names.
Yeah.
Fauci, and her parents owned a pizza company at the time.
No. Yeah. You're making this up.
And I wish I had, but no.
What? This is getting weird, dude.
But she was not present this particular period, and I had walked to a restaurant.
What if it's actually she ends up being Fauci's daughter or granddaughter? That'd be weird.
I mean, you know, I don't know.
Knowing you.
Be just my luck, wouldn't it? So I went to a restaurant, came back, and encountered some gentlemen, some well-dressed.
No, wait, was she with you?
I said not this time.
Oh, okay.
Some well-dressed gentlemen, and they handed me a business card and said, hey, you might want to look at, like, some of the stuff that...
Like Men in Black dressed, or, like, how well-dressed?
Kind of more like what you would think Mormons, but could be military. You know, there's sort of a little bit of an overlap.
Yeah, there is an overlap. Like, so what you're saying is, I can see it now, khaki pants.
Right, yep.
They have a button-up white shirt?
Button-up white shirt, yeah.
Was it short sleeve or long sleeve?
Long sleeve.
Okay, that's not Mormons. Mormons would be short sleeve.
Well, it
probably
depends. Is it Mormon classic or Mormon light?
I don't know. And so did they have, like, military-type cut hair?
Yes.
Okay.
There was definitely a very military aspect to their bearing.
Interesting. Okay. So they're very clean cut.
Yes.
Very clean cut. All right. What kind of shoes?
I remember them being like sort of like penny loafers, or, you know, they kind of had that vibe.
Okay. All right. I got you. Yeah.
I didn't really look at their shoes that much.
Okay.
So they gave me this card, and of course there's a lot of different people going on. So I'm like, all right, you know,
you just kind of whatever, man.
I'll follow this back. And I put it back, and of course it contains, like, there's not a lot on it, but there's a web address. So eventually when I get home, I check it out. But before I do that, before I check the web address out, I do go back to get pizza at Pizza Hut with the Fauci person. And I'm coming back, and the weather changes. And suddenly it looks like a tornado is imminent. And she never had any experience with tornadoes, so she wanted to stay out in it. I'm like, this is not what you do in a in a tornado. She was taking pictures of it and all this stuff, and I'm like, it's time to seek shelter now. Right. So we had this this pizza box in our hands, and it was literally taken up, like almost like a funnel cloud, like Wizard of Oz level, up out of our hands, and it wasn't recoverable. Like, it went high enough up in the air, we couldn't do anything with it. And I wouldn't have believed it if I hadn't seen it, of course. And much later in my life, I'd be living in a place formerly called Pizza Time, but that's another story. So there's linkages to all these different pieces.
Yeah, it gets weird. Well, we're not going to get deep into that right now, but...
So when I get home, I eventually go to the website, and it's basically an early version of what Cicada would be, where it's got these breadcrumbs of certain things.
Oh, you mean like those puzzles?
Similar to.
Okay.
But it's forming a narrative.
Okay, so like... It's just, you go to this website, it's like a picture or something, or it's a question. What
I remember it being a picture, and I believe it was of a hexagram, if I recall correctly.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay, so you go and you start to follow this clue, and it leads you to another clue.
Each thing moves
to another clue, and another clue, and another clue.
Right.
Now that's weird. So you're still following it to this day? You've never stopped following the clues?
I would say now that everybody else is doing what I have done.
Hmm.
Like the Q awakening and all that, everybody's doing.
They're following these clues.
The same thing that I did in a different way.
Or cues, you could call it.
Yeah.
Right. So it's not really, I mean, I don't have to do it the same way.
His microphone's not on hardly at all.
Hello?
Okay, you just got to hold it up. All right, okay.
So they're doing what I did do, but... It's a different...
Okay.
So I'm
so
really...
So what year is this?
96, 97.
All right. That's weird. So you think... What do you think today that it is or was? Or do you have any ideas? Do you think it's tied into military or is it... What is it?
Well, there's a speech by George Bush.
Do you think they've ever... Okay, let me ask you this. Wait. Do you think they've contacted you? Like, have they ever... Do you think that they... contact you or they
I think the pieces that were behind it contacted the American public at large.
Oh, so you think it might be actual the Q people?
I don't think it might be. I think it definitely is.
Okay.
But as to what,
but you don't know who they were to this
day. Nobody does. Like, wow. You generally don't. In this situation, the anonymous format of the board worked perfectly for that.
Okay, so why do you think you were chosen for that? Because your grandfather maybe?
Partly. I mean, when
you think somebody was like watching you and listening to you speak,
you're asking questions.
I don't know. I'm sorry. I'm very curious.
You're asking questions that deal with, you know, people ask, like, where did the Q-post come from? And depending on who's asking the question and what they're noticing about the Q-posts, there's some eerie things in there that don't make sense from a common human perspective.
Okay.
So you have to start asking the question of who or what is influencing at least some of this information. Where is it coming from? Because it's time independent, right? So that a lot of the key posts are stuff that were before. It says military planning, and you're going, okay, but like military plans a lot of things. You know, in a war, a military plans tanks and movements, and there's stuff that happens in a battle that doesn't go according to the military planning.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff is going according to these key posts, and really straight. It's almost like reality wraps itself around.
It really has. It's real weird. Yeah. I've followed it enough, yeah.
So if you're dealing with that, you're dealing with a level beyond anything people normally would say is military, like a general or something. Something else is happening. So I could speculate on that, but I'm going to quote, there's a speech by, I think, is either junior or senior, George Bush. He said, we're going to reap the whirlwind, right? Like he said, we're going to go do this thing in the United States of America, and we're going to reap the whirlwind. And it has a biblical context, and the Q movement says it's going to be biblical.
Mm-hmm.
And reaping and whirlwind and all these concepts come together, and usually it means there's a harvest of some sense. And the harvest is of God. He looks over his crops. He says, this is good. We'll keep this. This isn't. My story is it goes all the way back to Queen Victoria, this Made in Babylon business. And believe it or not, some of the first messianic believers came into England at that time period, all the
way
back.
So you're talking about Jews who believe in Jesus? Or,
absolutely.
Yeah, okay.
And she had famously said, I will give my scepter. If Messiah comes, I'm going to give him my scepter, is what Victoria said. But history shows that's not what she did. So instead we had World War I, World War II, and now we're sitting at the precipice of possibly World War III.
It's getting pretty hairy in the Middle East, that's for sure.
Well, ultimately, China isn't necessarily on the same page. They have a different point of view in life, so those things are going to duke it out sooner or later.
China. I saw somebody, they had a meme, and they were like, I can't wait to hear him say China.
Yeah.
So it could be, right, if the heavens are water and the Titanic sank in water, it could be that you're dealing with something that presides over water or mercy.
Aliens?
Well, I mean, if you have aliens as your god, probably. But I don't think I went to a place and talked to aliens.
No, you didn't. But what about the Q stuff? Could that be aliens? Oh, my God. Don't tell me it's an octopus.
I mean, you have to decide at some point in yourself.
I could just see this octopus, and he's, like, typing away.
I'm not gonna decide what's good and evil for everybody.
No, I'm just kidding. I don't think it's an octopus.
But what I am going to say is, if it's opposing child exploitation.
I mean, right? Maybe he's a rogue octopus. If that were the case, because you have to think about what it's trying to do. So what's the whole point? The whole point is to take down some kind of weirdo, evil, satanic cabal, right?
Right. And the truth
what
is,
what a world you've inherited, Carter. You know,
yeah,
I've definitely been fighting since 1990s for you. So.
Right.
What do you think about all this? We'll give us Jobel a break.
It's definitely crazy, especially from like a younger kid seeing these things.
Yeah.
It's something you wouldn't expect. Because like growing up, you watch cartoons and you eat food and go to school with your friends. And then once you kind of break that point, you get into high school and you kind of get exposed to a lot more information, a lot more media, a lot more attention. And you start to see things that you wouldn't have seen as a kid, and it definitely opens up your mind. And especially like now with what's been exposed of aliens and water, and that's definitely something that's caught my attention, which not many kids my age, they're not interested in that.
Really?
And they don't really dabble into those things, especially with politics and stuff like that. They kind of just continue like to watch sports, watch shows, sit at home, TikTok, you know, just simple things. They don't really like to research and, you know, put the effort into what's out in the world compared to their little bubble.
Yeah, because if they don't, what's going to happen? Like, so if there isn't people watching, right, if we're not watching and seeing what people are doing out there, like in our politics or in our military or in the world in general, they won't have a little bubble anymore.
No. And those things that we don't pay attention to, they can continue to get stronger.
Sure.
And they can grow and grow and become inevitable at some point. And if we don't pay attention to it, they can eventually take over. But I think now we're definitely in good hands, for sure.
Well, we're in better hands, for sure. And it seems like that it's going in a good trajectory.
Definitely.
We see it. Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, it's hopeful.
Right.
Right. It truly is for the first time in a long time. So, okay.
Did you have any follow-up questions?
Well, so do you think, like, those people, here's a question. Do you think those, first I should ask Carter, do you have any questions for him?
No.
You don't have anything. Okay. So do
no further questions.
So do you think those people who initially contacted you, all right, whether they be Mormon, which would be a weird thing, but let's say, yeah, we don't know, or military, do you think that they are still in contact with you, or, you know, how would you even know? Like,
you wouldn't know. And as I said, I think it's rolled into the population. So what started as something that was specific to me became a populist movement, but it took it a while. And I think it was part of the answer to the question I had, you know, that when I was irritated with God, I'm like, look, kids are being, it's rough. Like, you know,
what's
I grew up
happening to kids.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's rough.
It's bad.
So I think more or less I was given a choice to do something about it or not, if you want to know the truth. I think.
And so how do you feel that following clues on the internet did anything to help anything? Like, what, how does that
Well, when you start to put the picture together, right, if you follow the genesis of the Q movement, as people started to put all these different research pieces together, they started forming a more accurate picture of the leadership that they have.
Like, so it was like revealing it, like, in a coded way, like, started to point to certain things.
So back during the Clinton period, encryption for email had been made a military munition, and you could not export it to different countries, or you were considered like a weapons terrorist, and they were very much against encryption. So you had these people that had cypherpunk cyber mentality, people that wanted the information to be free. And freedom of information, of course, is an act you can file. But there's supposed to be accountability. The people that govern are the public servants, not the other way around. But you can't really identify that unless you have enough knowledge to know what's going on and how and why. Because otherwise, they throw up a smoke screen and you don't know what's happening.
So, right. So, we've been under three families, basically, for 50 years. The Clintons, the Obamas, and the Bushes, with smattering of Reagan in there and, you know, whatever. That's a long time. And when Trump came in, what he's saying, what's interesting about this fellow talking about him looking like Caesar, I don't think Caesar gave power to the people, did he? Like, I don't know that much, to be honest with you. Like, was it people ruled or was it, what was it?
It definitely wasn't totally people ruled, but he had ruled during a time period where Rome had been given signs that something was happening, which happened to be the Messiah's birth. But Rome concluded it was about them. And so they started having, like, all this greatness, and they did have prosperity. They had, you know, it was the height of it. They hit their height at the same time, and then after Messiah, it started falling down the drain.
Okay, all right. So, okay, well, it's just interesting timing because I think he talks about transparency and not the smokescreen. So who really was the Caesar here that was controlling everything except for those families and keeping everything secret? So now with this new Doge thing, right? They're talking about like revealing like all these secrets that we've been kept from us. Where have our tax dollars gone from? There's been no accountability. You know, $200 million on transgender monkeys. Really? Like, that's a lot of money to do that. Like, so I think it's turning, it's changing, and accountability is coming, and openness and transparency. And the Bible predicted that. It said it will reveal your secrets from the rooftops. So
the first thing that was the first movement of that was probably Kennedy when he said, I'm done with the intelligence agencies, you know, and then they didn't like that. And so we're about to probably get a lot of declassified files on that point. And
that's what he said, one of his first things he was going
to
do.
I think, and definitely the people have the right to know, especially like how you said, like taxpayer dollars. We should know what we're putting our money to. There's so many unnecessary things that our money go to, which could be put to better things like roads. Roads in Illinois suck. Like, and it's just terrible. And for us, like, it's not good. There's so many better things. We could have better buildings, better playgrounds.
Well, here's a question. You got a new school, right? Yeah. Like, you know, there's a lot of work done on it, and that came from somewhere, right? So, I mean, that's a positive thing, right?
There's definitely positives that they do, but there's more negative than positive.
Okay, yeah. I would agree with you on that.
So, yeah, if there's no accountability, and the whole country was built on accountability to the people, you have a problem. And what we've lived through is a taking over of that power. So in astrological terms, you have Pluto and Capricorn. Well, that makes authority that's using power in some ways, but not necessarily in a transparent way. It starts looking at all that. And now it's getting ready to move into Aquarius, and that starts to ask, how are you using power across the board? And that's a much different type of question that starts to be posed. And of course, it says, how have you used it on behalf of the people?
Yeah, I agree.
So all these things are coming up, you know, and ultimately you're dealing with the 60s, right? The age of Aquarius. This is the dawning of the age of Aquarius. And all these heavenly disturbances and whatnot, that's part of that process. Because if you're going to have a country and the ages change, you've got to be different. Can't come in here all.
Right. So we're going to be seeing big changes. Neat. Carter, you know, something that's neat that you're wearing, like we can talk about that for a minute, because I like seeing ideas like this.
Yeah.
So this is the second piece of clothing I've seen you wear. made by one of your fellow peers, yeah?
Yeah. That's definitely been something that I'm a big supporter of, my friend. He started off small, and then now he's grown big. Like, it's not just people in my area, but it's people outside.
Wow.
And it's definitely grown. And I definitely want to be a big supporter for sure. Because, I mean, that's my friend.
But yeah.
Also, you know, being able to be along the ride. Because who knows where this could go? It could get popular. Such
well,
as
give
Bruce.
Him a plug. Give him a plug. Does he have a website or what? Does he have a name for his clothing line?
You can go to Soul Lover on Instagram or TikTok, and you can find videos and stuff there. Or you can contact him through Snapchat.
Okay, you know, Soul like Lover, that. Huh? That's neat. That's kind of a cool thing, and that's what that says on your.
Yeah.
You're wearing like a hoodie thing jacket. That's pretty cool. That's a good idea. So he's kind of taken, you know, his own route already, right. And he started just selling to his friends. Yeah.
Yeah. It started off, yeah, just like his group of friends. They mm-hmm. they gave him feedback on what he should do, and he always comes to, you know, his closest people to ask, you know, should I drop this or how should I design this? And I think just him receiving that feedback is definitely launching his brand to the best level that it can.
That seems to be the new hot thing. The way to go about stuff is asking instead of just making it and expecting people to buy from you.
Because if you don't hear from your, you know, your audience or your consumers, how are you going to know what they want to buy and what they'll purchase?
That's very cool. That's very cool. And that's neat that you're supporting your friend.
Yeah.
Have you thought about doing anything like that? I mean,
I've thought about it. It would take a lot of like just asking, definitely feedback, but I'm not sure. Essentially, I'll go down that route, but I'll definitely support.
What are you thinking about doing?
Definitely. I would love to go into politics for sure.
Really?
Definitely that or like trades.
Trades? Like what kind of trade are you thinking?
HVAC or electrician.
Well, electrician is all about Aquarius, isn't it? It's ruled by Uranus, which is the electric planet. Like, it's all about electricity. So, yeah, that'd be definitely that.
Power to the people.
You would be giving power to the people. Yeah, like
literally.
Literally, yeah. See how that works? Or you'll do it through politics. I think you'd do great at it. That's a rough business, but hopefully we're seeing, you know, change in that.
Definitely.
You know, more transparency, less like, here's a child to traffic or else you don't get to be senator, right?
Yeah.
Like that bullshit needs to end like now. It should have never began, should have never happened. Yeah. And those people need to be held accountable.
For sure.
And they should be afraid of the people and not the other way around.
Yeah.
Right? Yep. So awesome. I really like that. And you know, let your friend listen to our podcast. Hello, Soul Lover.
Definitely.
And my friend he's wearing your brand around and being a billboard for you. So that's pretty cool.
Hashtag Soul Lover.
That's a good name. I like it. Yeah. If you're going to love something, you should love people's souls. Yeah. Yeah.
That's kind of like the whole like thing behind it.
I love that. Yeah. Okay. Anything else we want
to? Well, do you have anything you want to say to the listeners out there, Carter, before we wrap it up?
Definitely, you know, make sure you're not listening to misinformation. Make sure you're reading the right things. Make sure you surround yourself with the best people that you want to be around. People who make you succeed and not fall back. People who will push you to that next level for sure. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's a new world. We have a new administration, so definitely going down the right path for sure.
Very good. Well, thank you, sir, for
joining
us and wanting to be with us. And I love that. And to your friends, too. And hey, you know, we'll open it up if anybody wants to
definitely
be on our podcast. We're willing to listen to them and, you know, we can talk about things if they like. The next generation's where it's at, right?
For sure. I think definitely the voice of the young is definitely going to
lead. It is important. Yeah, it's absolutely important. And, you know, the voice of everyone, the old too. But, you know, I think that being young, and I remember being young, yeah, I wasn't listened to. I'm really not listened to that much being old either.
Right.
But I have some really edgy ideas compared to most people.
Yeah.
So they don't know what to do with me. But I see them coming forth, things I believed 30 years ago. Everything's happening. So this podcast, I joked and said, this will be the podcast of Melissa was right about everything.
The happening is happening.
Ha.
Yeah.
Ha ha. Aliens and everything. And I said, the last thing you're going to see before shit gets real is disclosure on aliens. When you see that, get ready.
Yeah.
And I'm right. Again, all right. So.
Well, thanks for coming on, Carter.
Thank you, Carter. Definitely.
Thank you, guys.
Offering some perspective.
Yes, we appreciate it.
So to close out, Melissa, what do you think we're going to be doing for this season three? What's your best guess?
That's a good question. You know, we kind of been discussing that. And, you know, I think, you know, one of the things I thought about doing was like answering questions that I see, you know, the people doing is, you know, but I would like to hear feedback. What do people want us to do? You know, what do they want to talk about? That's a good question. Give the voice to the people, and anybody out there that is interested in a podcast or wanting to be a guest, I'm absolutely
the message in the bottle.
We're not a great big podcast. We were making headway in podcast world back in the day when we first started. If you start listening to us, we were growing actually pretty quickly. I think at the point that we got taken down by people who didn't like our voice, by right. the way, we got doxxed. Okay, there's this whole story. For a podcast to, you know, get anywhere, you know, and that means like regularly. And it's a lot of work, honestly. Like the back end of this, he's doing a lot of mixing. It takes him like a week, and we're very small, obviously. But hopefully we'll gain some traction and get somewhere, and we enjoy doing it. We have a lot of fun. So, yeah. I don't know. Let's see where it goes. We talked about different things. I think I'm going to use Twitter for the time being and talk about that. You know, or I did it again. X.
Got to catch yourself,
dang
man.
It.
So we have some things planned then.
Sort of, yeah.
Loosely planned.
Loosely, yeah.
And I would just like to add, I'm not sure that we were really taken down, but we were interfered with. That's what I would say.
Whatever you want.
That would
okay,
be the way
dude.
I would use it.
All right. Yeah.
Interference can be a problem.
Well, let's put it this way. We didn't have a website anymore.
We did not, for a variety of reasons.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, all right. I'm Joe Bill Schertzinger.
And I am Melissa Schertzinger.
Signing off for Nearly Sacred.
Tape one, side one, beginning. And here I am, 7,500 feet over Italy. One engine shot out and on fire. German ME-109s just staying in the distance to see if I'll bail out or crash. How did I get in this position? What brought all of this on? Was it back when I was a small child and I used to climb the persimmon tree in the back of the house? Here I would climb to the top of the tree. I had a view of all the fields that lay between our home and the Ohio River. This gave you a great feeling of exultation.